We will call the July 21st, 2025 Board of Adjustments meeting back to order. Next case.
Case number 13093, St. Jude the Apostle Church, doing business as Code Purple, seeks variances from the 400-foot minimum setback from any existing dwelling on property other ownership for a proposed park or campground. Section 115-79 and 115-172-H3 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the south side of Coastal Highway. The 911 address is 18006 Coastal Highway in Lewis. The zoning district is C1. The tax parcel is District 334, Map 6, Parcel 526.01. We have zero letters of support, zero letters of opposition, and one mail return for this application. And the applicant is seeking a 148.2-foot variance from the 400-foot requirement from a neighboring dwelling, a 119.5-foot variance from the 400-foot requirement from neighboring dwellings, and a 6.1-foot variance from the 100-foot requirement from a public road.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. My name's Alex Burns. I'm an attorney with Baird Mendalis Brockstedt. Excuse me, it's changing names. It's Brockstedt Mendalis Federico. It keeps changing on me. But today, I'm here with Andrew Lyons from GMB and Frank Arena, wherever he is. Oh, there he is. He is the Director of Governance at Theros Village. And Glenn Mendalis is here too. He's a partner at my firm. And I first just want to thank you all for being here. You know, I recognize I'm the last application, so I'll try to make it quick. I don't want to keep you here too long. And I thank you for taking the time to expedite this matter and hear this, because I know you have a heavy caseload, and thank you for your public service to Sussex County, which is, this is all about public service for Sussex County. You know, Theros Village, I'll let Frank explain exactly what it is, but it's a seasonal supervised transitional housing program in Sussex County. Importantly, this application directly supports the goals of the comprehensive plan. So I just wanted to reference two quick points. Under Objective 8.1.3.1, which encourages the county to coordinate with nonprofits and other stakeholders working to reduce homelessness, and Strategy 8.1.3.4, which urges the county to consider ways to reduce homelessness and displacement. And this project is a concrete step towards realizing those objectives. I just wanted to point out respectfully, we don't feel that a variance is necessary, but we're grateful for the opportunity to be here. And by way of background, Sussex County approved the conditional use number 2583. That was last month, June 17th. There were 24 written comments in support, additional in-person comments in support, and no comments in opposition. And that really made this whole plan possible, and this is the last step in the county approval process. I'd also like to acknowledge Mike Agnew, the president of Theros Village, who couldn't be here tonight. He's deeply grateful for the strong and consistent community support this project has received. In particular, he was encouraged by the Cape Gazette editorial board's April endorsement of Theros Village, providing a fair shot at a stable home and second chance at life for residents in Sussex County. It's also worth noting that this facility operated successfully on this very same parcel in 2024 without State of Delaware requiring approval from Sussex County. So we're happy to work with the county, but just wanted to point out that last year we operated the same facility and there were no complaints and no issues at that time. And so what you see today is the same model strengthened through this formal county approval process. In a few minutes, I'll turn the presentation over to Frank. But before I do that, I just wanted to note that our engineer at GMB is here. He's able to answer any questions. I think it's pretty straightforward. Separation from Savannah West is approximately 275 feet. And we cannot increase that without disturbing sensitive environmental areas, or violating other code requirements. And then before I turn it over to Frank, I'll just point out that I'll be available to answer any questions we have or clarifications later on. So thank you very much, and here's Frank.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alex. Good evening, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. I'm Frank Arena. My address is 33498 Bridgehampton Lane, Lewis, Delaware.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm excited to be here. As you've heard, this is the third and final step in what has been a bit of a journey to get to the final approval. We're very appreciative and grateful for all of the support that we have received thus far from the state, the county, and also the city of Lewis. So tonight we're here seeking that variance that has already been described. I just wanted to take a couple of moments and give you some idea about Theros Village if you're not very yet familiar with it. And we're very excited about a low-cost, self-governed approach to helping people that are unsheltered and dealing with homelessness in Sussex County. We use three words to describe the fundamental principles behind Theros, and they are respect for the people that are going through this, dignity, that everyone be treated as such with dignity, and hope. It's our hope that we're providing these individuals with a hope for a better life and a future path forward. Because we're not about a hand out, we're about a hand up, and it's traditional or transitional housing that really makes this work. Okay? Can I control the slides, or yes? And I do that by a little mouse. There we go. Okay. Thank you. I think Alex may have referenced this. I wanted to show you this cartoon that appeared in the Cape Gazette on April 8th. And it's a cartoon, but I think it really goes to the heart and soul of what Theros Village is all about. First of all, the headline says, Troop 7 is where we are located. The former Troop 7 was on that site. And they call it a gem, right? I find that very interesting that they use that word. Because it does give a secure, suitable, one-room solution for people that are struggling with homelessness. And why is it a gem? Because of its location. It's nestled in a very wooded, tree-lined area on Route 1, which is a rarity. So you have proximity to DART transportation. You have proximity to employment opportunities up and down Route 1. You have proximity to our volunteers, because this is located right between St. Jude the Apostle, which is our Code Purple men's shelter, and the Lutheran Church of Our Savior, which is our Code Purple women's winter shelter. So right there, nestled in this little area, is a great spot that we can take care of 28 souls and get them out of the woods where they have been living. The Cape Gazette further on April 25th made these statements. I had to come closer because my eyes are not that good. Sussex officials should not delay. They should support Theros and similar programs across the country. A compassionate, organized effort can give every resident a fair shot at a stable home and a second chance at life. And I have to say, I'm a volunteer, so I get to meet these individuals, and we are very selective about who comes into the camp, and I'll talk a little bit about that in a second, because these are people that really want to get their life back on track. As you can see here, I want to talk about the admission process because it's a three-step approach to getting into Theros Village. The first is a written application where we're gathering all of the background information that's required, right? The second is an in-person interview with two of our volunteers. And I think we have two people from our admissions committee, John in the back and Pat up here, that are very much involved in the admissions process. And they do many of these interviews with the candidates. And then the third is the commitment of the individuals. If we deem that they're appropriate, that they meet the qualifications, that they will agree to following the rules of Theros Village, and I'll talk about those in a second, and also make the commitment that they will be either employed, gainfully employed, 15 to 20 hours a week, or volunteering in one of our approved volunteer organizational arrangements, 15 to 20 hours a week, or they're actively going to school, either pursuing an academic degree or a trade certificate at Dell Tech or wherever. So those are the things that people have to agree to, which shows their motivation and their willingness to take a change in the direction of their life. I wanted to spend just a couple of moments on the next two slides to give you a sense, if you've not seen the campus. On the left, you're getting an aerial view. And as I said before, I choose the word nestled because you can see, if I can step up here, you can see very clearly we have a half acre of this property. It's a 7-acre lot of land, mostly wetlands and tree-lined property that belongs to the state. And we abut right here to the Del Dot yard. What you're seeing are the top or the roof of two salt barns. These are temporary salt barns that store the salt that makes the brine for the winter roads. So looking now, if you imagine, if you're in the community closest, it's called Savannah West. So I would be standing right here. You can see the tree line buffer between Savannah West, I'm in the parking lot, and I'm looking over. The first thing you could see, if you can see through the trees, because I went over there and you can hardly see this, are these salt barns. And then behind them, there is a perimeter fence. Actually, it's a perimeter fence all around the Del Dot yard, as well as a 6-foot galvanized chain link fence that goes all around the property of Theros Village. I want to be clear that this is not a traditional campground. This is not like going out camping with your family. These are tents that are set up in a very military-like format, rows and columns, you can see it. There is no open flame, there's no campfire, there's no bathhouse, there's no loud music. In fact, there's quiet time from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m., right? So it's really not your traditional campground, if you will. Any questions about the format and how it abuts to the adjoining community called Savannah West? There's one more, I think, So now let me just walk you through, if you were approaching, this is right on Coastal Highway South, right? If you were coming on Coastal Highway driving south, you can turn in. There's an entrance here, a double gate entrance that is locked. It's a secure gate. We had a conference with the fire marshal as well as the emergency medical folks about accessing this. They have the combination to this lock, and they also have the special lock that they can get in and out. Come in. Here, again, you're on the Del Dot property. Over here are the salt barns. The only time these gates are open is to allow for emergency access or any of our partners. Who are our partners? BB Population Health. They come every other week to administer to our guests, right? They do health checks and medication checks, etc. We also have First State Community Action for case management. They come on a weekly basis to meet with our guests. Also, we have trash removal from Casella, and we have American sanitation for the porta potties. So these are the vehicles basically that come in here and go this far. This should really stop here. There is no road that goes this way, okay? Once you're in here, you're actually in the campground. As I said, rows and columns constitute the configuration, 10 feet separation between the tents, okay? All around the back is completely tree lined, and the only, I think the only real question is around this. This is the parking lot of Savannah West. If you were standing on this side of the tree buffer, which is very robust and green at this time of year, and then Coastal Highway right here. Questions or feedback about the layout? Yes, sir.
So you're in the gated community, shall we say. Is it locked and they don't have access after or egress after a certain time?
There are two things going on. There's a pedestrian gate, which is always open.
Okay.
And the pedestrian gate follows, there's a gravel path because there's a three-car parking space over here. So there's a gravel path right up to here, and then there's a regular 3-foot-wide pedestrian gate. The fire marshal, when they did their inspection, asked us to put in a locked pedestrian gate on the backside that if there were an emergency in the woods, that they would be able to get, you know, a stretcher or their equipment into the woods. This gate, there is a gate here. It's a double wide gate. It's not locked. So if anybody really needed to emergency get out, egress through the pedestrian gate, which is right on Coastal Highway, where they get into this large area and then connects it. Again, approved by the fire marshal.
So then one other question, the three parking spots, the potential people staying at this location, do they have their own transportation or is it solely geared towards DART transportation?
Mostly DART transportation. I would say one or two of our guests do have vehicles, right? And they can park them in those one of those three available parking spots. But most people in this situation, as you would imagine, either they were living in their vehicle and they give it up so that they can stay with us, or they don't have a vehicle to worry about parking. Okay, this to me is the most important slide, and I know it may be getting late, but I do want to take a couple of minutes to go through this slide because it does, in my view, answer the variance request, right? These are the five requirements, right? So if you would bear with me, and again, I need to get a little closer because of my eyesight. Uniqueness of the property. It is a very unique property, as I've been trying to describe. Its location, close to transportation, close to employment, nestled in a tree-lined area, basically out of sight. I didn't mention that in addition to the 6-foot chain link fence, we have a privacy screen that also gives privacy both ways. So it's, I think they say it's 75% opaque. So it's not like you can't see through it, but it gives you privacy on both sides. So you'd be, I think, hard pressed to even see this from Coastal Highway. And it gives our guests privacy on the other side. So the situation about being equidistant from the women's shelter and the men's shelter plays a big role because, you know, it's nonprofit and it's all volunteer driven. So our volunteers largely come from the community and from the faith churches and communities in the immediate area. And that's how we know all of these people that are currently our guests at Theros Village. Okay, so it is a very special place and it's hard to find such a location. It's only a half acre of the area that we're currently occupying. The second part sort of goes hand in hand. Cannot otherwise be developed, right? So if you came to the property, you would see that we are right adjacent and abutting to wetlands, downsloping trees. There's no place to push the camp further away from Savannah West. I mean, we're right at the very edge behind the Del Dot lot. To me, the Del Dot lot is really what is the big separation. And if anybody were to complain, they'd complain about the salt barns, I would think, before they complained about anything yet further south, actually north, sorry, further north than where the Del Dot yard is. So we really can't shift. We're snuggled in between Del Dot and the wetlands. Number three, these limitations weren't created by us. It's just a natural terrain, right? It's just where it happens to be between the lot, the Del Dot yard, and then the sloping, as I've already described. As far as adverse impact on the environment, we would say absolutely not. In fact, I'd like to turn that on its head and say we believe that we're improving the situation in the neighborhood. And here's why. Because right now, there are about, in our best count, somewhere between 45 to 50 individuals living in the woods, in encampments, with no sanitation, with no trash removal, with no water. People are in the woods in makeshift tents. And if you go back there, you'll see the trash is growing. What Theros offers is a way to get qualified people out of the woods, put them in a situation where there is, well, there's observation, there is rules, there are services and amenities to support these people. Sanitation, as I said, porta potties, hand washing stations, right? Meals are delivered three times a week. On Sunday, there's a bus that will take the residents to a church for a sit-down Sunday dinner. So it really, in my view, it improves the situation in the surrounding area because it's reducing the number of people living in, you know, the Wild West encampments. Because trash that's building up and, you know, sanitation that's happening back there unsanitarily is ruining the environment. And then the minimum variance, we're only asking for whatever we need. You, my dear, who quoted all the exact figures, but that pushes us away from the Savannah West community. To my knowledge, there's been really no opposition that I'm aware of at this point. And I wanted to share just one story about advocacy. Last Saturday, we had a bottled water drive, right? 3 hours from 10 to 1. The goal was to collect 100 cases of bottled water. At the end of the 3 hours, we collected 429 cases of bottled water. I give you that as an example of the amount of interest, concern, engagement from our community and from our neighbors that know there are people in need. How can they help? Bring a case of water. I thought 100 cases in 3 hours would be a great win. Little did I know I had no storage space for 429 cases. Okay, I want to be sensitive to your time. I just want to show you this one or two final slides. This is what we expect of the residents. You can see very clearly they sign an agreement if they're selected to join Theros Village. It's all about respect and dignity. I talked about that early on, that they must demonstrate those behaviors. Zero tolerance for any kind of violence, whether that be verbal abuse or physical violence, that gets you evicted immediately. Noise control, I mentioned, 10 p.m. to 6 a.m., no drugs or alcohol allowed on the site whatsoever, no weapons or any other instruments, and respect for people's property, no theft or stealing. Everybody signs those, and they understand that those are the guiding principles that keep them living at Theros Village. So, in summary, I would say this has been designed as a pilot in 2024. Alex mentioned we did this for about 2 months at the end of last year. We did it without incident. There were no accidents. There were no problems of note. And we certainly were working with our First State case management folks at that time, helping people get either employment, permanent housing. Some people just need their IDs. They've lost their IDs, and it's not so easy to get them back because of all the requirements, but we've worked with them. So we're asking that we continue what we started in 2024 as a pilot, and we did using the conditional use in all transparency. We opened on July 7th, so we've been in operation just about 3 weeks. Today we have 23 people living at Theros Village. We have two spots being held for people that are resolving personal issues. And the remaining spots are geared for our wait list. Currently we have 11 people that qualify through the written application and the interview process. We have 11 people waiting to get into the village. So I guess I ask you, before I turn it back to Alex, I ask you here today, realizing you've got a lot of decisions in front of you, that everything we've done in concert and in agreement and alignment with the Sussex Strategic Plan. And I think you referenced that early on, right? So we've been working very closely and understanding what the objectives are from the governor's office to the county and locally. And we've done that all in collaboration with the Sussex Plan. I ask for your vote for the variance today so that we can continue to support and sustain the 28 homeless souls that we've been able to bring out of the woods and hopefully into a hopeful future existence at Theros Village. Thank you. Alex?
Thanks, Frank. Don't know if I can really follow that up, but I just wanted to add that, just to be clear, the state of Delaware owns this parcel, and the state, through the Office of Management and Budget, has formally consented to our use, and that is a state approval in the form of an MOU that only runs through November 30th of this year, so this is just a very limited program. We would need a whole new state approval for 2026, and I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Any questions from the board?
I have a question. How many residents were housed in the operation during 2024?
So there's 28 campsites right now. Were they all full last
yes.
year? So 28.
Do you cap out at 28?
Yes, so if I could. It sounds like, why is 28 the magic number, right? For two reasons. First of all, the space, right? These are nice size tents, right? And who knows, is it 10 by 12? Is that the 10 by 12 are the square footage of the tents. And we built platforms so they're raised off the ground. And then there's 10 feet between the rows and columns that I described before. So that's number one. Number two, the winter shelter at the women's church, the Lutheran Church of Our Savior, and the men's church at St. Jude, we have 14 beds in each for 28. Now, last year, because it was so bitterly cold, remember the winter we had in January with the three snowstorms, right? I come from up north. I thought I was getting away from the snow. Not so much. We were able to increase that up to 21. So we did that, but we had to have additional chaperones and watch to meet the fire marshal's requirements. But normally, it's 14 women, 14 men, total of 28. And they can bridge. So when this comes down, if they're still there, if they haven't moved on to independence, right, then they can go into the men's or the women's shelter. So November 30th, we close. Code Purple opens December 1st and runs until March 15th. So it's designed to be cyclical and that there's a place for people to go. This year, because we needed to get all the approvals, we had a gap from March 15th all the way up to July 7th, and that meant these people were forced into the woods, living on their own without any amenities or support.
Before you sit down, I have just a couple questions. So the tents and dwellings are individuals. Do you have couples at all that's there? So instead of 28, you might have 29 because there's husband, wife, or spouse.
It's a great question. We do have several couples, but every tent, it's one person to a tent. And if a couple wants to stay together, that's their choice. But we only have 28 people in the camp. Whether or not they share a tent or they don't, that's up to them. And that's by the state. One person in a tent. What they do afterwards is a personal choice.
You said it's circular from March to November 30th. Do you have repeat applicants that come to this? Or, I mean, does this seem to be, for lack of a better term, a way of life? And this is, I'm gonna live here because I can, because the state's paying for it. And I can live here from the summertime, and then I go down here for the wintertime. Is there a program? Does the program offer, I know it's saying that you have to have a job and all the different right. protocols that you have to move forward and a hand up, not a hand out.
Yep.
but do we have people that just continue to come back?
Again, what we are trying to do is when we're interviewing people, we're trying to interview people that are not necessarily, and I'll use the word chronically homeless as a way of life, right? We're trying to identify people that are looking to move on. So yes, are there some repeat? Because coming out of homelessness doesn't happen overnight, right? It's not even a 6-month journey. It can be 2 or 3 years, right? And I was looking at some of the statistics. I think the average number of years of homelessness for a typical resident is 2.5 to 3 years. But we have some real great success stories, and we're so thrilled when we're able to do this. We had a woman who was 71 years old who had been homeless for a good number of years, and we were able to work with her. First State was able to work with her, and today she's living independently in a one-bedroom arrangement. We've had other examples where people have gotten together and have shared, they've gotten a job and they've been able to share the rent. So our goal is to move people through, not keep people in that vicious cycle.
At the location, you mentioned chaperones at the other areas. Is there a chaperone is this place chaperone 24/7?
So not 24/7. What we have is a couple of cameras for security purposes so we can visualize what's happening, right? Our volunteer group will be there probably, I'd say, 2 to 3 times a day and visit with the guests and check in. But there isn't anybody there overnight. If there's a problem overnight, We have a response line. Everybody has the number. You call the response line, and you call the state police. Right? But there, in the code purple, because it's contained and it's indoors, we do have overnight chaperones. Here, we're there pretty much during the course of the day. As you run errands, you stop in. I was there yesterday for an hour, visited with everybody, chatted, heard what they needed, that kind of situation.
You also made mention that the woods around is inhabited by many people that's not in the program.
Right.
Are they allowed to come into the campus during the normal hours?
So that's one of the challenging situations, because we're set up to accommodate the 28 people, right? Our amenities, whether that's just the porta potties, the food that's being delivered, it's designed to support the 28 people that are living there, right? So I can say this, during daylight, guests are allowed to come in, right? And so maybe they do use the facility, but at dusk, there are no guests after dark, right? And that's been made really clear. Remember, one of the first things I said, it's self-governed. So it's up to the people living there to protect their space by enforcing the rules. They understand what the ground rules are to have a successful village, and it's up to them to enforce those when we're not around. I mean, we are there during the day, as I say, but not 24/7.
So thank you for your presentation. Couple of questions. The MOU for this year runs out on November the 30th. Have you received any type of indication from the state of Delaware whether they wish to continue?
So what I would tell you is that what you said is absolutely correct. And on November 30th, we have 7 days to clear the area and return it to the way we found it. That's the agreement. We also have been told by planning and zoning that we will be asked to come forward with a report on January 15th and a presentation on February 1st about our experience and our statistics for this season. Planning and zoning has also said that depending on the review, we may not have to go through the full-blown approval process that we went through this year, and the state has agreed, but they're standing down on making any firm commitment one way or the other. In other words, let's see your results, produce the record in January, come back in front of us in February, and then we'll make a decision.
So the state, as the owner of the property, is waiting for evidence, I would assume, of success.
I would say yes. Now, Alex can tell you legally it says, right, for this season.
Yeah, legally it's just for this season.
Right.
I'm not aware of any informal conversations, but as far as this agreement expires in December.
Okay. Well, there's a, and Mr. Sharp may probably, in. If this board makes a decision tonight and is granted, then I would assume that there would be a condition of, I'm concerned about voting for a variance that wouldn't have a condition on it that the property was available for use. Mm-hmm. You understand my point?
Yes.
Because it then provides a variance that's on the record, so the condition.
Dr. Carson, perhaps this might alleviate that concern. The code is set up that if the variance use, you know, is not used, then it lapses. Now, the board could put a condition perhaps on approval if it were so inclined. Certainly we'll hear from the public on this one, that any, you know, it's conditioned on the applicant in the future having requisite MOU with the state and all necessary state and agency approvals. You could do something like that as well to protect it. I know that the area is limited to the confines of what our setbacks are that we're looking at. So that gives a little bit of restrictions on where it could be located, because they've only asked for it to be in the location that they've proffered to us. If they had to change that for any reason, mm-hmm. yeah, they'd have to come back to the board.
Okay. Next, there was, and you mentioned if there were infractions of the rules, that an eviction would take place. Who is the evictor? Who comes in and does the eviction with the guest?
We have, as I mentioned before, we have an admissions committee. Mm-hmm. We also have an accountability committee. So if there is a violation, it would filter to the accountability committee. They would review it. The person that is in question has a chance for an appeal process. And then the accountability committee together would vote on whether or not this raises to eviction or warning. We will allow, you know, one written warning. But other than that, it then goes to removal from the village. And that's the accountability committee's responsibility.
And I would assume that if there was an infraction that was high enough, that involvement of law enforcement
yes.
also remains an option.
Yep. And we've worked very closely with Captain Mary McGuire and the state troopers. They will periodically just stop by and make sure that they're comfortable with everything that's going on there. And so we have a very good dialogue and, you know, collaboration in partnership with the state troopers.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
I do have a question. I want to hear more about the wetlands and the slope that you referenced there on the property. I'm guessing, I think from your testimony, I'm looking at the site plan that you provided us. It says variance exhibit. I see a wood line that kind of goes along Route 1 and then kind of does a 90-degree turn and then does a little waggle back and then kind of goes around the salt yard and then back to Route 1. Is the wetlands right where that wood lines is? And if you could, at the microphone, answer. Is that the wetlands area there, right where that wood line is?
It is, and I've walked all that property. And so where the chain link fence is, the perimeter fence that we were instructed by the state to install, that defines the half acre. If you just go beyond that, the land, the terrain slopes down and opens up and into the wetland. So there are places where there's all sorts of nature. It's actually very beautiful, but not conducive for any camping or living back there.
How far does it slope down?
It probably goes down about 15 feet.
Okay, so it's a significant topographical drop.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, that's on you. Thank you.
Okay.
Any more questions from the board? Sure.
I have nothing further. Thank you.
Thank you.
I do have just one more. They're in a vetting process. People are this has been on the radio and in the newspaper and what have you. During the vetting process for the people that's there, because it is close to certain neighborhoods and what have you, is there a criminal aspect that's looked at, you know, whether it's the sex offender registry or something of that degree?
Yes.
To ensure that no one in the community would be in violation? Or, again, in the woods, shall we say, who may be coming in and just to sit around and visit with someone? You know, I know that's kind of hard to vet somebody that's a guest,
right?
You know, to the people that's there, but but that's a concern that would be, especially to the local neighborhood as close as the housing development is to this area.
So for the admissions process, for someone who will be living as a resident at Theros Village, that is part of the review, a background check. In fact, our director of operations is back there, Jeannie Rial, and she has access in collaboration with Captain McGuire to make sure that there isn't any of these offenses that you're referencing. So we do make sure that we have a clear record. And we have had to reject individuals that have wanted to come in, but when we do the background check, they pop and they're not acceptable.
In that case, would that be some way that you would ban from being on the property in general? I mean,
yes.
You know, not as a guest living there, but just able to come in and visit with.
That's exactly right. Now, we are an adult community. We do not house children, but nonetheless, if someone has a sexual offender, you know, background, they are obviously not going to be accepted, nor are they going to be welcomed as a visitor.
Okay. Any further questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone present who is in favor of case number 13093? The 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 total. Would anyone like to speak? Is there anyone here who is in opposition of case number 13093? There are no more questions from the board or Mr. Sharp. I will close the public hearing and entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move that we approve case number 13093 for St. Jude, the Apostle Church, doing business as Code Purple. It's a strange configuration in terms of the requester and matters, but be that as it may, I believe that the variance for the reduction in the footage setback is predicated on the property having unique physical conditions, that those conditions are not being created by the applicant. Hopeful that the variance will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood, and that the variance represents the minimum necessary to afford relief. And I would state that, and while I think it's obvious, that the conditions and requests of future memorandums of understanding, the consent of the state of Delaware, the consent of Sussex County, and any other approval agencies are necessary in order for the variance to move forward.
I second.
I have a motion and a second. Levengood?
Nay.
Dr. Hitchens?
Aye.
Dr. Carson?
Aye for my reasons.
And I vote aye. So with a vote of 3-1, case number 13093 has been approved. Any additional business?